Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Market Bites. I'm Sam.
And I'm Josh.
And we're here to break down three of the hottest financial events that happened this week, so you can keep your finger on the pulse on your way to work, at the gym, wherever and whenever you have time to get updated.
Please remember that this podcast is intended for educational and informational purposes only. Stay tuned for additional disclosures at the end of today's episode.
So, are you ready?
Here we go.
Hello everyone and welcome back for another episode of Market Bites. We're back as a duo this week. Neja is on holiday. Josh was just on holiday. Josh, how are you? How was your time away?
It was good. Yeah. I feel rejuvenated. Happy to be back. It was so hot. I went to Thailand. I'm back in Sydney and it's a bit cooler. Ridiculous temperatures. 42, which is Everyone's probably thinking, oh wow, but that's not nice. It's not a nice temperature at those types of levels. There'll be people listening in probably the Middle East as well that will agree with that. But it's good to be back.
Yeah, good to have you back. I've just been in Naples for the weekend, which
you were,
which was nice. 25 degrees, which was a bit lucky. I think it was raining just before, and I think it's raining just after. But I always find it interesting going away and you can come back, especially if you've got like an investing head on, you come back and you see things a little bit different, don't you? Like, for example, if I went Naples and was to come back with an investment idea, I'd be like, motorcycles. Everyone is going around there on a moped or a bike. So I'd be like, okay, what's the next thing here? And I guess if you go to certain countries and they've got a certain electric vehicle brand or something like that, it's always quite interesting. I mean, to be fair, in Thailand, there's a lot of bikes as well, isn't there? You know, that part of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. You probably be wanting to download, or sorry, you probably want to be buying Grab shares, which is sort of the Uber of Asia and other countries as well, because it's just everyone uses it. So it's very similar. No one really uses Uber there. So yeah, that would probably be the buy if you were coming back from there.
Yeah. Do you know what the funny thing is? You probably fast forward a few years and we look back at this episode and be like, yeah, why didn't we buy that?
Why don't we buy those motorcycle companies?
One thing we won't talk about, Josh, is the Premier League title race, which has now gone down to a two-horse race. For those watching on the podcast, Josh is getting up and leaving his seat. That does remind me, if you're on the podcast and you want to watch that live reaction, you can head over to YouTube. Please remember, like, share, subscribe. But we'll move swiftly on. We're going to discuss Apple, Amazon, and Novo Nordisk. Josh, why have you gone for Apple and Amazon?
Yeah, two giants of the Magnificent Seven, both obviously reporting earnings this week. One has already reported, one yet to report. And I think both are slightly in different positions at the moment in their journey as companies. One's under a fair bit of pressure, but the other has been absolutely flying in the last year. So I think it's good to sort of dive in to both of them. Why Novo Nordisk for you, Sam?
Well, I was just looking at the earnings that we had out this week. And for many people, they'll know that Novo Nordisk is the biggest company in Europe by market capitalization. So I felt it's a bit of a no-brainer, to be honest. They're reporting, biggest company in Europe, therefore you'd expect a lot of eyes on it. And we already know that, you know, for anyone that's invested in them over the last few years has been very, has done very well. So yeah, that's what I'm going to focus on. So let's, for you, Josh, talk about the company that has already reported. It was Amazon. They reported overnight, Tuesday after market close. Did they deliver?
They did. Yeah, they absolutely did. They beat on both the top and bottom line, so earnings and revenue. And they also just sort of came through. They sort of really, I think, flexed its sort of financial muscle, really. The cloud unit, AWS, posted the strongest sales growth that we've seen in a year after a bit of a lull within the last sort of 12 months. And I think the beauty from that is that as AI continues to be embraced, and we talk about the AI revolution a lot, but AWS is at the forefront of capitalizing on what is this tidal wave of spending that we are seeing across the globe, you know, on AI. Yes, we talk about Nvidia, we talk about Microsoft, but AWS is in there as well. And I'm going to stay with AWS just for a moment because it is such a key part of the business, and not many people know that. And I was actually doing a podcast today. It was another podcast. I'm not going to say the podcast because we only listen to this podcast. Yes. I was doing a podcast elsewhere today, and we were sort of talking about companies and their size and understanding, you know, really what they do and really how they make their money and why it's so important. And that is really key. And that's why we're getting to that. And AWS is such a key part of the business. And if you're not maybe, you know, a real stock lover, or if you don't fully understand stocks, you may not understand that it is such a key part of the business, because here's the key fact, right? It generates less than 10% of Amazon's overall revenue. Okay, so on the surface, we're looking at it's, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars in sale that it makes in revenue that it makes every single quarter. But, and this is a big but, it contributed over 62% of its operating profit. So that's really such a huge, you know, reason to understand companies. And it also shows why Wall Street cares so much about that area, you know, of the business. 10% of revenue, but 62% of operating profit. And that's massive. And that did help lift that operating profit by more than 200% in the quarter as well. And that was also aided by CEO Andy Jassy, his cost cutting over the last 12 to 18 months. That's improved margins and they've sort of become more efficient. And then we can look at the sort of the e-commerce side of the business that did about $55 billion in sales. So again, another segment of the business. And that solidifies Amazon as that sort of consumer favorite, I think, and still what is a pretty, you know, challenging period for consumers. We know that the US economy has sort of held up, but still got interest rates at record highs. And people are sort of using Amazon, I think, as that value play, I think. You know, you have Prime, you get discounts. I still think it is that. And as I say, it's not the primary driver of the profitability. That is AWS. But I think it remains a very important component to sort of revenue. And then we have the Prime business. Look, I think the Prime business is just a real formidable force. And that's something that is a really key part and will continue to be a key part of the business. And then also a quick mention to the advertising sort of segment as well. That's starting to become a real key player. Sales jumped by 24% in the quarter as well. And I think that is an area of the business that could be really, really important and a key revenue driver for the business over time. So those listening, that is one to sort of keep an eye on. So AWS is that profitability driver. We're always going to be looking for that for growth, but keep an eye on that advertising revenue because it could be one that does reap the rewards over the long term.
Yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on there. Speaking of Prime Video, Reacher, worth a watch for anyone out there looking for a new series. Action, everything you want from a TV series if you're into your
sounds
action.
Like my street.
Give that a go. Speaking of the results then, Josh, was there any disappointment, anything that left investors thinking, could have been a little bit better that?
Yeah, I think there was maybe one downside, and that was that we just didn't see a dividend announced despite having a cash pile which sits at about sort of 70 billion. We've saw this from Meta and we've seen it from Alphabet recently as well, given their sort of cash piles as well and sort of that giving that reward back to investors. I don't think the Wall Street is necessarily hugely disappointed by it, and I'll touch on why that was in just a moment. But, you know, Bloomberg, I think, had sort of come out with a consensus that they'd expected them to sort of begin a dividend. And I think, again, with $70 billion on the balance sheet, we maybe expected that. And there was also a question mark over an increased buyback to shares as well. We maybe either expected a new buyback scheme or a dividend, and we sort of didn't get either. But as I say, I don't think Wall Street will be completely disappointed. Instead, I think Jassy was quite smart. What he basically said was that the business is sort of going to be reinvesting back into the business. And it was a huge push into building data centers. basically AI, and then support other growth opportunities, which if we look long term, that's a real win if they can use capital in the right way. But the point is, it needs to be done in the right way. They need to get it right, because operating expenses, as I mentioned earlier, they fell, and we saw operating income up by, you know, 200-odd%. But now we're going to start seeing their capital expenditure growing again. If they don't invest in and spend in the right areas, you know, think back to Meta and how much chaos that caused for their sort of balance sheet, you know, around the sort of the metaverse push and things like that. And then they had to sort of go into full efficiency mode. Well, we've seen efficiency mode from Amazon and we've seen efficiency mode from Meta. Now they're both investing. I think that any mention of spending around AI at the moment isn't worrying Wall Street, which is, I think, the net positive here. But again, anytime you start spending again after being efficient, it is going to sort of lift a little bit of fear for investors. If they do it in the right way, it will really pay off and we'll see shares continue to sort of grow. But do it in the wrong way, you're going to get punished down the line.
Yeah, Amazon up pre-market, just over 1% at time of recording. And you know what? I think investors will be relatively happy with that, because we've seen obviously some good earnings reports on the face of it. And companies come under pressure. You know, Meta down 10.5% on the day of their earnings. Netflix was down 9%. On the flip side, you had Google, which was up 10% or so. Oracle was up 11%. Microsoft was relatively flat at 1.8%. Adobe down 13%. So there's been certain times where, you know, companies have reported and have either gone up significantly or down significantly. Tesla, obviously, since going up 12% on that day, has continued to rally, albeit a little bit of a pullback. Amazon, 189 roughly, is the all-time high, which we tested in April of this year, also going back to November 2021 and also July 2021. It's always interesting, isn't it? If you are an investor that only ever buys one point, you don't average into a position or you don't dollar cost average. Heading into this release for Amazon, if you had bought 24th of August, 2020, you'd be completely and utterly flat, 0% return. If you had bought on the 30th of August, 2021, you'd have a return of completely, absolutely nothing, 0%. But then if you bought anywhere around the end of December 2022, you'd be up over 100%, which just shows timing can obviously be beneficial, but you know, time in the market, a bit of dollar cost averaging can also be the way to go. Trying to call that bottom would have been incredibly tough. I do appreciate that. Next up for us is Apple. It's been a rough few months actually for them. Shares have come under pressure year to date. I think they're down. Microsoft have also in recent times stolen the top spot as the world's biggest stock. What can we expect from their earnings then?
Yeah, well, when it was Tesla's turn to report last week, I said we needed some Musk magic, Sam. Well, I think when we turn to Apple, I think we're going to need I think I'm going to use on this turn on Apple's earnings, because it's not been a great couple of months. Amazon have come under a fair bit of pressure. If we look at shares, you know, they're down year to date. If we look at it over a 12-month period, basically flat over that time as well. You expect more from a business of Apple, and especially when we compare it to, you know, your Microsofts and some of those other names. And we got some data last week that isn't actually officially from Apple, but it's from a research firm, and it's sort of all over the news, and it is seen as pretty legit. And it essentially says that iPhone sales in China had fallen by 19% during the first quarter of the year. And then on the other side of that, you had the competitor, Huawei, saw sales surge by almost 70%. So the difference, what you're seeing there, is that this is a very Apple-specific problem that we're sort of seeing in China for smartphone demand, and not necessarily a smartphone issue in general. Yes, Huawei may be sort of slightly outsized numbers because they launched this fancy new phone, fancy new chip. And that has clearly, you know, affected Apple sales in the quarter. And as I said, these aren't official numbers from Apple, so we're going to wait to sort of get those. But for now, heading in, it doesn't look very pretty. So if we do see soft numbers from China, that's going to have a direct impact on revenue, and we could see a revenue decline year over year. So that's something to keep an eye on, because Wall Street won't like that. And then to also add to that, I'm not sure guidance, you know, is going to be much better. I think I'm not looking for guidance to try and save Apple here, because I think if we're seeing weakness in China, you know, I don't think we're going to get anything turned around in the short term there, unless we're potentially going to see positives from other areas of the business. So I'm not sure Outlook's going to save them. I think the next quarter is also going to be pretty tricky, the one we're in right now. But that Cook charm that I was mentioning, I'm going to be looking at that to come from any news around the new iPhone 16 model. And a lot of conversation has been going on there about how AI is going to play a huge role in that new iPhone. And that's something that's going to be really key for me, because they need a catalyst, and Musk got it absolutely bang on. He got an absolutely bang on the other day. He knew it was going to be a poor result. And he goes out and he talks about everything that the market wants to hear. He talks about AI. He talks about that new, you know, 2025 model, the cheaper model. Well, that's exactly what the market wanted. And the results were not good at all. So we need something from Cook. And I think maybe that's where it is, right? It's maybe an AI. It's maybe a mention of the iPhone 16. And it may be dropping, you know, how much AI is involved in that. Because Apple has kept its AI cards close to its chest from the very, very beginning. And that is one of the reasons that it is lagging against its peers so far over the last sort of 12 months. And I think for me, what is key for Apple is how they navigate what is clearly a very challenging period in China and just sort of weaker iPhone sales in general. So I think if they can get through this next couple of quarters and try and, you know, limit damage and sort of stem that bleeding, give investors some more insight into those AI plans and what's ahead, then I think that's going to really help them. And I think bottom line, look, we're seeing weakness, but I think it would be really naive of us to sort of sit here and think that Apple aren't laying the foundations in the background. This is the biggest one of the biggest companies in the world. It was the biggest company in the world for a long, long time. They've got, you know, ultimately 2 billion installed devices around the world. 2 billion installed devices. That's the biggest of any company in the world. And that in itself brings ridiculous opportunity. Add in their services business, which I've talked about a lot on the podcast before. That's so key when you've got 2 billion people using these devices. And that, you know, that services segment will see double digit growth likely in this quarter as well, which might be a bit of a saving grace. So as I say, don't write this business off. And I think even if we do see weakness over the next quarter or two, I think any savvy investors are going to see continued weakness as opportunity, especially if we do see weakness coming after the earnings report as well. But let's see, we might get that. We might get that Cook charm, and he might deliver something special. We might get something around the iPhone 16. We might get something on AI, but they're certainly going to need it, because I think just those numbers alone, I don't think are going to be enough.
No, it's going to be an interesting one, isn't it? And I was just looking at the chart literally right now, just to sort of have a look at what maybe the market might be focusing on in terms of lines in the sand, in terms of bullish above, bearish below. And I've got written down 179 to the upside. We're currently trading in and around 170. So if we get a good report and we close the week above 179, I would say that sentiment is favoring the bulls, and we can maybe look at attacking those all-time highs around $200. If, however, the report isn't received too well by investors and we close below 156, then I would start to say, actually, you know what, we're drifting lower. We've broken out a range that you could argue we've been in for over a year by the time it would get down there. And, you know, why can't we then head back down to the 2023 lows of 128? So I feel it's a very important report, and we do need some of that Cook charm, I have to say. But yeah, above 179, I think things maybe look a little bit different. It would also be, if that is the case, it'd be above the 50, the 100 and the 200-day moving averages as well, which would also, on theory, be bullish. But certainly one to watch, Josh, and I'm sure, you know, investors will be keeping a very close eye on what Cook says, but also those results.
Yeah, and I think a big part of what we've seen in earnings season has just been around commentary, because a lot of it, you know, especially with Tesla, we expected that. Maybe coming into this result with Apple, we're expecting it to be sort of weak as well. So this is when you need your board and your management to sort of really step up. And again, you know, I've spoken about Musk a lot, and we've often said that how good he is for the business. And I recently wrote a piece and I kind of said that he was a bit of a threat for the business at the same time as well, because, you know, he's very vocal in what he does. And when they're getting to that point, you want him to do something and you're waiting for him to do something. And he sort of did exactly that. And I think that's so key for sort of businesses. And I think one of those businesses that probably doesn't need much commentary at the moment is Novo Nordisk. And for those that maybe aren't sure why they are the biggest European company in the world, it is because of this beautiful drug that probably everyone knows of right now is Ozempic. And although it is supposed to be used for diabetes, we do have lots of people in the world using it for weight loss. I was actually watching a TV show last night, and there was a guy on there who had been using Ozempic for the last, it was either 12 months or the last sort of couple of months. And he was sort of talking about the use of it and how much weight he'd lost over it. And he was working with doctors around the world to sort of try and work out its side effects and sort of things like that. And he's wrote a book on it. I can't remember the book's name, but he wrote a book on it about the, you know, why he used it and how he did it. And they asked him at the end, after everything that you've been through, will you now stay on Ozempic on everything you know? And his answer was yes. So clearly it's something that is going to continue to be huge with the consumer, and therefore investors need to pay attention. So what are we going to be keeping an eye on, Sam, when Novo Nordisk reports?
We'll get into that very shortly. And just you saying the word Ozempic reminded me of something I saw on social media yesterday. So I'm sure there'll be many people that listen to this who know who Barbara Streisand is, the actor, the singer, whichever way you want to look at it. Anyway, she posted on, let me just get the name of this other actor right, Melissa McCarthy, who I think was in Bridesmaids, for anyone that's watched that. Anyway, she commented on her Instagram picture. It's like the first bit's irrelevant. It was like, give him my regards. Did you take Ozempic? And everyone was like, what? Does she know that that's a public comment? Or, and everyone was like, everyone's got to teach Barbara Streisand how to send DMs. Obviously, she was trying to give Melissa a compliment that she had lost load of weight, this, that, and the other. And she then tweeted out or Instagrammed out, oh my God, I went on Instagram to see the photos we'd posted of the beautiful flowers I'd received for my birthday. Below them was a photo of my friend Melissa McCarthy, who I sang with on my Encore album. She looked fantastic. I just wanted to pay her a compliment. I forgot the world is reading. I wonder if she was paid by Novo Nordisk to tweet that out or Instagram that out. That would be good marketing, wouldn't it? But as you mentioned, Josh, it is the biggest company in Europe. If we have a quick look at the top five, you've obviously got Novo Nordisk, the Danish company, number one, LVMH, the French company, number two, ASML, the Dutch company, at number three, Hermes and L'Oreal, four and five, the two French companies. The top German company, SAP, coming in at six, with Accenture, the Irish company, number seven. So yeah, look, big report. Their quarter one report comes before the opening bell on Thursday. So just one for your diaries there or your calendars, just to be aware of. They've been on fire. Admittedly, in the last 8 weeks, they share price wise anyway, they haven't done too much, but they've been on such an amazing run to get to that point. If you look over the last 5 years, they're up something like 460%, which is obviously mental. So you can give them a little bit of breathing room for the fact that over the last 8 weeks, they haven't really done too much. But that said, the bar is quite high for these results. And we've talked about Tesla a little bit on this. Yes, maybe their results on the face of it weren't great, and Elon Musk's comments saved that report. But heading into it, their share price was under significant pressure. The bar wasn't actually that high. So for a company where results have been, you know, strong, where the share price has been, you know, just going up and up and up and up, you do need to see the proof in the pudding. Now, yes, we've seen over time that companies can consistently deliver for sure, but it just takes one not so good report and actually you can come under a little bit of pressure. Analysts are expecting net profit to increase of 17% to 23.09 billion Danish kroner, which reflects obviously that this growth trajectory that we've been on about. I was just having a look at their sort of report from the last quarter, and revenue has been trending in the right direction. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 positive quarters in a row where it's been growing quarter on quarter. Net income been trending in the right direction last sort of 5 as well, and it's been very consistent too, is what you would say in that increase. However, a key focal point for investors will be the flagship GLP-1 drugs, which have been instrumental in driving this company's growth as well. Analysts were, you know, also saying they predict robust sales growth, particularly fueled by the diabetes drug, Josh, that you mentioned there, Ozempic, which is expected to see a 32% rise in sales year over year. And you'd imagine that's going to keep increasing as well. However, there will be, of course, challenges. There always is in production capacity for the obesity drug. Wegovy may temper quarterly growth despite obvious high demand as well. But I guess that would be a small bump in the road. If there is obviously this demand, usually you'd say that's a good thing. Attention will be also on any announcements regarding the upscaling of that production capacity, which could significantly impact future revenue streams. I'm sure they're looking into it and would have an answer for it. But if not, you know, then I guess in theory you could say share prices would come under a bit of pressure because of that. Analysts also will be closely monitoring Novo's margins, expecting a gross margin of 84.5% and an EBIT margin of 45.7%. While the sales growth and product mix effects may bolster margins, factors such as production costs, price pressures in the US and insulin market, they are something to keep an eye on, and currency effects also in that mix could potentially exert downward pressure. I think it's an underrated factor, actually, currency pressure. I remember when Netflix were reporting bad earning after bad earning, they'd always say, oh, we also currency pressure, currency risk. They don't really talk about it when earnings are going well, however. But listen, you've got to get your excuses out there, haven't you, as well. Novo's ability to reach or react, I guess, to the soaring demand for its GLP-1 drugs will be critical. Analysts suggesting that production capacity enhancements and the addition of new contract manufacturers will be key going forward for achieving their full-year forecasts. But look, you know, if you were to ask me, do I think it's fairly priced, I would say yeah. But one good earnings or bad earnings report can change that. It's been drifting along for the last 8 weeks. I think you'd have a lot of people eyeing up a potential dip should you get that opportunity. You know, the previous all-time high that we had from last year, you know, comes in around 743. We're currently trading about 880, give or take, when you listen to this podcast. That would be about a, let me just move that, about 13% move from the low. I think that would be an opportunity. People would say, you know what, this is the biggest company in Europe. Things are heading in the right direction. If they have a small blip and we get a dip, which would also be about 20% from the high, that would interest me. But that said, if we do get a good report, we're not far away from the all-time high. A break above that momentum can just keep going and going and going. I wouldn't quite say they're overweight just yet, Josh.
Yeah, there we go. I think though, the one risk that I have to a company like this is I think that you've put your drug, well, you haven't put the drug. The drug has gone so far into the limelight. And I was talking about this guy earlier who was on the TV and they were looking into it. And you've got such widespread use of this drug now. And I've been watching a series called Dope Sick. I don't know if you've seen it. It kind of goes through the opioid crisis in the US and OxyContin and sort of the growth of I can't remember the name for the life of me of the company and the growth of this company essentially, and how they just sort of and how it just the drug became mainstream, and but then ultimately it all came sort of crashing down. Not obviously in any sense trying to say the same about sort of Novo, but more to the point being that when you take your drugs so mainstream and you have so many people taking drugs, you're very much at the risk of universities, studies coming out to maybe talk about the risks of the drug, or the FDA maybe getting involved, or warnings, things like that, that do have the potential risk factor here. Because I think for Novo, their sales are going to keep going because this drug is in high, high demand. As you say, production issues might affect that. Bottom line, that you've got to be aware of the risk that that might
Purdue
come at
Pharma,
some point.
I think was the company. But yeah,
that's
give
the
that
one.
A watch, people.
It was
released a few years ago, but awards after awards after awards. So it must be half decent. Josh can vouch for that. Josh, we'll be back, of course, next week. Hopefully Arsenal are still in the title race, so at least one of us can be happy at the beginning of these episodes. But Josh, as always, mate, thank you very much for joining.
No, thank you for having me, Sam. See you all next week.
You have been listening to Digest and Invest by eToro. For more information, use eToro.com. This podcast is for information and education purposes only and should not be taken as investment advice, a personal recommendation, or an offer of or solicitation to buy or sell any financial instruments. This material has been prepared without taking into account any particular recipient's investment objectives or financial situation and has not been prepared in accordance with the legal and regulatory requirements to promote independent research. Past performance is not an indication of future results.